Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Hi, welcome to the Dollars and Cents Show. This is Carol Topp, your host, and today's episode is called Homeschool Leadership is Like Marriage. Know what you're getting into. This is a talk that I gave at a homeschool convention in Texas earlier in 2015. So you'll hear a little bit of the audience and a little bit of dining sounds in the background as you hear it. But I hope it's encouraging to those of you who are involved in leading a homeschool group, because I talk about the important work that you're doing, but I also compare it to marriage because it is a big time and a big commitment to lead a homeschool group. I talk in this first half of the presentation, episode number 56 here, about expectations and how you should not really try to meet the expectations of everyone, because it's impossible. You can't make everybody happy in your group. The next podcast, which will come out in two more weeks, episode number 57, will be a continuation of this podcast. And I'm going to share some warnings for homeschool leaders to avoid. I'm also going to share some encouragement from the Bible about, you know, what kind of things you maybe need to be reminded of as you lead your homeschool group. So I certainly hope you find it helpful. I do want to warn you that I am on a bit of a hiatus. While this podcast is airing, I will be recuperating from some surgery I had, and so I will not be able to reply to emails or set up phone consultations or things like that as usual. But hey, if you need help running your homeschool group, I've got a lot of other resources besides this podcast to help you. So make sure you head over to homeschoolcpa.com, look at my books, my website, other podcasts, and get the help you need during this time when I won't be able to help you more directly, but I hope to be back working part-time in early January 2016 and help you to help run your homeschool organizations better. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Anyway, it's lovely to be here, lovely to meet with you all. You're my favorite people, homeschool leaders. And let me introduce you to my husband. This is Dave. We celebrated our anniversary this week on Tuesday, 31 years. So that picture there was taken. that's our engagement picture, and this other one was just a couple years ago. So, you know, when you've been married a long time, people ask for advice. So this is my husband's advice to young married people, typically men. This is what he tells young men who are getting married. Marry someone who is cheaper than you are and meaner to the kids than you are. That way you'll have nothing to argue about. What do you think? It's probably been pretty true in our marriage. You know, when you've been married a long time, and we're at the phase now where we had a phase in our life where we went to a lot of weddings because our friends were getting married, right? Now we're going to weddings because our friends' children are getting married, right? And you sit there in the wedding and you're happy for them. But in the back of your mind, when you've been married as long as I have, you're thinking, they don't really know what they're getting into, do they, Lindsay? They really don't know what they're getting into. So that's why I titled this talk, that homeschool leadership is a lot like marriage. You don't really know what you're getting into, ladies and gentlemen. But for the most part, we try to follow good examples of other people who've gone before us, right? We try to look at examples of good marriage, good parenting when we're parents, good leadership when we want to be leaders, which is a big part of what I try to do through all that stuff that you heard about, through my blog, through my website, through, I do a lot of phone consultations, I write books, I have a podcast on your tables as a postcard for the podcast. So if you haven't listened to podcasts, I encourage you to check out some. There's a whole network of podcasters who are homeschoolers who talk about homeschooling, and I try to share a lot of my information that way. But I want to emphasize in particular
leadership, homeschool leadership, the important work that you're doing, and encourage you that what you're doing is so very important. And, you know, you are having a huge influence on the next generation. I was at a homeschool conference, and they had nothing nearly as popular as this, but a workshop for leaders on burnout, and there were about 12 people there. And after I got done, she said, "You know, Carol, you just influenced 3,000 people." I thought, "Well, how did I do that? There's 12 people in the room." And we had shared about the size of the homeschool groups that they led, and she was a mathematician, you could tell, because then she said, "Then I took the average family size, you know, homeschooling 6, 8 kids, you know," and she figured out that there was an influence of 3,000 people in that room. And that's what I'm trying to tell you guys. You are having a huge influence, and you are changing the next generation by encouraging parents to homeschool and to be involved in actively parenting their children. So, rah-rah for you. You are having a huge influence on the next generation, and they need it. They definitely need it, don't they? You are also doing a lot to raise academic standards. There used to be that criticism about, you know, homeschooling doesn't measure up, the kids won't be smart, and I think we've proven it's not true. I mean, our kids are passing standardized tests with flying colors. They're getting into colleges so successfully and doing so well that colleges are now recruiting homeschoolers. So you are doing a lot to address the initial concerns that homeschooling was not going to produce academically successful children, and thank you for doing that. Thank you for increasing the academic standards and raising that and meeting that challenge. Of course, as a leader, you're doing a tremendous amount in encouraging tired and discouraged homeschool parents. And I know you're tired and discouraged sometimes yourself, but you've stepped into a position where you have a tremendous amount of influence to encourage these women and men and women, moms and dads, who are tired. Homeschooling's hard. And they need encouragement, and thank you for what you do. Thank you for when you give them a shot in the arm, when you give them a hug, when you tell them they can do it. And you need to tell them they can do it a lot, because your members can get easily discouraged, right? So let's keep that up. And, you know, one of the things you do best as leaders, you might not have thought about, but you are doing an excellent job in fighting homeschool critics. When I started homeschooling, I homeschooled for 14 years, and somebody do the math. My oldest daughter is now 1 year out of graduate school. Anyway, about 17 years ago, something like that. I started homeschooling 17 years ago, roughly. There was this question all the time about socialization. I don't hear that question anymore. You know, it used to be, well, how are homeschoolers going to be socialized? Oh, my gosh, my kids were in high school. They were so socialized. You know, we never had any time at home, hardly, you know. So you've answered that criticism by providing sports organizations, by providing homeschool proms or whatever your homeschool groups are doing. You're doing a fantastic job of meeting the criticisms. There will be new criticisms of homeschooling. There always will be. And you're going to be doing a good job as leaders of addressing that by saying, you know, I think sometimes it's okay to have critics because they might have pointed out some weaknesses, but you know, we address them and we move on successfully. But, as you know, there are some costs to leadership. Much like marriage, there's so many advantages and benefits to marriage, but there's also some challenges or some costs. And time and money. Of course, being a leader takes your time. Takes your time away from your family, takes your time away from whatever else you might pursue. It probably takes you away from employment or something that you could contribute financially to the family. It's very challenging to do both, homeschool and to have employment. So anyway, it costs time and money, just like marriage. Leadership also takes surrender and control. So does marriage. My husband tells me I watch television like a man. What does that mean? What does that mean, David? It's because I want control.
Yeah.
And don't we all, you know, we're homeschool parents. We probably want control, right? But as a leader, one of the most difficult challenges you face and the difficult thing about leading is surrendering that control. You know, so it's not your baby. You're not the only one in charge. If you are, you're on the path to burnout. And that's not good, and it's not good for your group, and it's not good for the members of your group who need to be stepped up, step into leadership and be encouraged and be built into leadership. Denise Hyde and I were just having a wonderful conversation about how it's actually a blessing to give up control. And I've found that after 31 years of marriage, too. It could actually bring out great blessings when I can surrender control.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.
But you know, as a homeschool leader, we also face this challenge of criticism. Can you read this t-shirt? This t-shirt says, "Hello, my name is Major Trouble. Don't make me prove it." Anybody got a kid like that in their group? Yeah, come on, you're just too polite. Every hand should be going up. Yeah, there are challenging kids in our organizations. There are challenging parents in our organizations. And I had one mom who, leader, called me. She was being severely criticized for something. I don't remember what, but I remember her saying to me, "All I was trying to do was to help people. All I was trying to do was to help people. And now they're criticizing me for making a decision, for organizing a group, because it wasn't at the time they wanted. It didn't meet where they wanted something. You did not meet their expectations." I'm going to touch on expectations in a little bit. That's huge, because most of the time the expectations are not voiced, except the criticism is. All right. Also, you guys, you know you have a huge responsibility when it comes to starting a group. I was just meeting with Morgan earlier before the workshop started, and she's starting a new group, and we didn't even get into all the responsibility, but there's a lot, right, that Morgan's going to be faced. She's going to be faced with caring about the safety of the children, both physical safety as well as, you know, all kinds of other safety issues. How about the money? That's one thing I specialize in, being a CPA. Legal status of your organization. Are you legal? Are your parents legally homeschooling according to state statutes and things like that? How about managing volunteers or lack of volunteers, as Joanne was complaining at our table about lack of volunteers, right? And also the whole issue, if I hire a worker and pay them, are they an employee? Do I then have to worry about filing federal income taxes and the paperwork? Yes. Yes, you do. There are many, many things, many responsibilities that you have as a leader. Part of my job and part of my website is to help ease that burden by giving you the education and the tools you need, but it's still something you're going to be faced with as you lead. Definitely a challenge. And ultimately, it's just a lot of work. It's just a lot of work to lead a group. There's fatigue, there's sacrifice, and again, just like marriage, there's a lot of unmet expectations. Maybe on your part, all I wanted to do was help people. I never thought I would be met with criticism. Or maybe on the part of your members, "Oh, I thought you were going to do everything for me. I thought you were going to organize the field trips," right? In my book, Homeschool Co-ops, subtitle, How to Start Them, Run Them, and Not Burn Out, I spend a little bit of an early chapter about expectations. Have your group members write out what their expectations of your group is. If you've not done that, it's a really good thing for them to say, "Here's what I expect out of my group." And then the list can only have space for about two lines. Because you cannot, you have to tell them, "I am not here to meet all your needs. I am not here to meet all your needs. I am here to provide a few services. That's it." So be careful of trying to meet everyone's expectation. You will definitely burn out if you try. And guess what? Homeschool moms are really good at putting a lot of expectations on you. They would be happy to let you homeschool their kids. And you're not supposed to take that on. That's their job. So just like marriage, when you start into leadership, consider the time, the commitment it will take, and the sacrifice it will take. Do I think it's worthwhile? Yeah, I've been married for 31 years, and I'm still happily married. I still like the guy. I still have to carve out time. I still have to renew my commitment to him. I still have to sacrifice a lot for the marriage. You're going to have to do that, too, for your homeschool group. Do I think it's rewarding? Yes. all those wonderful things. You're having a wonderful influence on the future. You're advancing the cause of homeschooling. You are helping parents immeasurably more than they can ever thank you. And they probably don't thank you enough. So, as I was addressing a homeschool group a while ago, I came across a passage from Hebrews chapter 13. And so I just want to reflect on a few things I saw. It's amazing. Just in the space of about seven verses, the writer of Hebrews covered a myriad of topics that apply to us as homeschool leaders, as well as in the back of my mind we think about long-term marriages. But let's just investigate a few of the verses in my take on how they might apply to you as a leader. Hebrews 13:1 says, "Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters." Now, I don't know why the writer of Hebrews put the word love and brothers and sisters in the same sentence. Because sometimes brothers and sisters don't seem to get along very well. Because brothers and sisters, like members of your homeschool group, are a little like the picture. I like this picture because it represents that we all come from very different backgrounds. We're different colors, and we speak different languages even, right? We come with all this stuff to a group, yet we're trying to be unified. The brothers and sisters in a family are unified by the family. Your group is unified by your desire to homeschool your children, to educate them with parent-led education. But we all come with many different expectations. But the exhortation from Hebrews is, it's kind of an active sort of sounding verse too, isn't it? Keep on loving. Very active, very proactive. You may have to work at unity and love in your organizations at times, just like the church, just like marriage. So it's an exhortation. Hebrews 13:2 goes on to say, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." Try to look at your group as a newbie homeschooler, as a stranger coming in. How good is your group at entertaining a stranger? At welcoming them in, at introducing them to other people that might mentor them, that might encourage them, by explaining what homeschooling is and what it is not. How accessible is your website? Do they know about your group? Can they easily find you? I tell you, I visit lots of homeschool group websites. And I understand that the groups are very localized. But a lot of times, I can't tell what city they're located in. Because they'll say, "We meet at St. John's Church at the corner of." What city are you in? So in other words, that might not be very welcoming to a stranger who's new to our world of homeschooling. And many of your websites are very good about saying, "Here are the state laws, here's some basics." And hopefully you have an email that they can email. Are you getting emails from people interested in homeschooling? Maybe you want to point or see if you can find someone to volunteer to answer those emails. Because you don't have to, but there might be someone in the group that's willing to answer emails from the newbies. There are some homeschool groups that if someone new to homeschooling desires it, they're assigned an older, experienced mentor. You can set it, and they just agree to some kind of have coffee or phone calls or stuff like that. So anyway, think about how you can entertain strangers to our unique and wonderful world of homeschooling, which does seem very strange in that it's uncommon to many people.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.